Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Nish, Davis Maddock, every day, noon to 1 Eastern. We got you covered for all fantasy sports, everything going on in the NBA, of course, the latest in the NFL, no doubt, things that are happening in NASCAR. We touch on some daily fantasy there every single week as well. Golf coming up a little bit later in the show. But one thing, unfortunately, Davis, that we cannot do is we cannot give you any positive baseball updates at this point. My heart is broken. Major League Baseball canceled opening day yesterday. They canceled the first two series of the Major League Baseball season here in South Florida, where I live. That means 7 games from Miami canceled. Who knows if they'll be made up? Who knows how this will all go? But certainly from a fantasy perspective, I refuse to sit here every single day and go over ADP of fantasy baseball players when I literally never know when this thing is ending. So I think starting now, until we get some sort of resolution, and we can jump back in immediately when we do get a resolution. But I think for now, the time is to focus on the sports that actually want to play.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. You know, basically the owners, they have to go sit and time out if they want their airtime on fantasy sports today. They've got to reach a conclusion. They have to reach an agreement, and we got to get the games going. Some of the statements from the players last night certainly do not paint the ownership group in very much glory. Austin Gomber tweeted this morning that the owners waited until 12:30 in the morning to bring them an agreement, and they basically, according to Austin Gomber, attempted to add a bunch of new things into the negotiation, thinking that maybe the players and their lawyers wouldn't read them and analyze them and just want, you know, the season to start or whatever. And then, of course, you know, when the PR machine for baseball starts up, they paint it as, you know, these millionaires are, they want to get paid too much money to play a child's game. And it's very disappointing. Canceled my MLB TV subscription. They will not, Craig, we could get it tomorrow. They're not getting my MLB TV money this year. So they're going to have to find that $170 elsewhere.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'll still obviously be heavily invested, and I did not cancel my subscription, to say the least. But from a fantasy perspective, I was happy, by the way, to see at least some provider make some sense, as the NFBC has decided to push back all of their drafts for the people who were putting, you know, the main event drafts, the people who were putting the money in that, which makes sense. These expert drafts, what is the point right now to be drafting in fantasy baseball? It's like they have to push these drafts out there as if anything is going to matter right now, not knowing if there's a season, not knowing where the players are going to play. There is nothing wrong with hitting the pause button in fantasy baseball, and that's exactly what we're going to do here on Sports Grid. And as soon as it is done, we will be right back at it. But please, like this, I cannot understand what the agenda must be to have to do these expert type drafts. I am out until I get some clarity on it. Yes, I'm hurt. I'm upset. But I, unlike you, Davis, I do think that there will be the rush to come back. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way or not, but I do think that as soon as it is over, we're in the TikTok world and people are going to go, oh, baseball's back. Great. Okay. Happy again. I personally don't think there will be long lasting effects. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I think that this is sort of where we were at. This is a very different world, and welcome to everyone on Radio Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Davis Maddock and Craig Mitch with you here. Craig, this is what I think the difference is. The last time baseball locked out was 1994. The last major lockout we've seen in sports was the what happened right before that NBA lockout. The biggest free agent transaction in the history of sports. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong. LeBron James going to Miami and doing that whole thing. You could have not have paid sports fans to stay away from that season of the NBA. But I do think if you give people a month off, they're going to find other ways to occupy their time. Will it be huge? Will tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of baseball fans leave the sport for good? Of course not. But will 5% maybe be like, you know what? I root for a crappy team. They're never that good. They never challenge for the, you know, what? Why would a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, a casual Pittsburgh Pirates fan, care right now? You know, I think that is probably where they might lose some people. Now, of course, the thing that baseball does have going for it is nothing better than going to a baseball game, right? You're hanging out with your buddies, you're out in the sun. Like, it's going to a baseball game is great. And you're never going to lose, you know, those casual fans because they probably don't even realize there is a lockout right now. But I do think anytime you miss games, I do think you run the risk of some people just not working you back into their routine.
Yeah, well, it will be interesting to see. And the other thing baseball has going for it is that essentially in the summertime, I mean, there really is not a lot of competition. Yes, the NBA, extremely watchable during the playoffs. But remember, by that time in the summer, half the teams are out and half the teams are left. And then you're just talking about the finals as well. But one thing I will agree with you was that LeBron James going to Miami. Because people ask me, because I've been doing this for so long.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
About events that I have covered and places that I have been. I've mentioned it, I believe, here on the show, games that I have been to, and I've been to them all, Super Bowls, championships, all of them. But Davis, when LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were introduced in Miami, that event is without a doubt in my top five of all time of things that I've been to. There's no question about the excitement level. I don't think I've ever been in a place that was louder than that day in Miami. All right, time for us to check in on Bay Hill and the tournament this weekend. I'll be with you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After a very exciting finish last week in my backyard at the Honda Classic, the PGA Tour moves north to the Orlando area. It's the Arnold Palmer Invitational, otherwise known as the tournament at Bay Hill. Before we get to that, let me tell you a little bit about how you can follow us on Twitter, which is basically what you do. You go to Twitter and you follow us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest picks in golf and in football and in everything else that we're doing here in the NBA, college basketball, everything that we're discussing. You can follow us on social media for that's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. And maybe Davis will be giving out some really good information this week in terms of daily fantasy at Bay Hill. If I'm not mistaken, I'll get this wrong, but did Bryson DeChambeau win this tournament last year? Did he win this one or am I wrong about that? I felt like he won this one last year because I noticed that he's not going to be able to defend. I don't think he's playing in this week. So am I right about all that?
You are right that he is not playing. You are also right that he won this. This was the tournament where I think it's 15, the one with the huge lake, and he in the final round hit it over the lake and made birdie on that super tough par five. He carried his drive like 365 yards. That was kind of prime Bryson, but you're right. He says he's like 90-95% back from this injury. And so he is not going to be playing, but yeah, I mean, this is generally, it's Arnold Palmer's event. This is a huge marquee event on the calendar for the golf season, kind of probably about the time casual people do actually start paying attention to golf.
Yeah. The Florida swing, listen, when Arnold Palmer was alive, it was Tiger Woods' event, kind of. I mean, Tiger Woods was living in that area as well. But it used to be the Doral, the Honda Classic, and then the tournament at Bay Hill, PGA Championship. I mean, all these events are going on in Florida. So naturally, it's time for us to build a DFS lineup. And so, Davis, to dive into it, I guess from a strategy standpoint, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, I think probably before the golf season started, is just, you know, building lineups around Jon Rahm, and is Jon Rahm going to win, and he's the favorite in all of these tournaments. So I guess we could kind of start there.
Yeah, Jon Rahm has really been unbelievable. And, you know, I think maybe some people are sort of getting bored of him because he is not he's not winning all these events, right? So we, you know, of course, we love the wins, but this guy just cranks out the top finishes. I mean, he's the world number one, and he is the world number one by far. You know, just T10 after T10 after T10. And last season, for example, he had two wins, but he had 15 combined finishes in the top 10 of events. I mean, he really is unbelievable. And our friends over at Data Golf that power our projections and rankings and things like that over at Daily Roto have him as clearly the number one golfer. So a little bit on this golf course before we get into the sample lineup that I have prepared. This is a very difficult golf course. Par 72, almost 7,500 yards. If it gets windy at all, you know, if we're seeing 15, 20 mile an hour winds, I mean, we could see some very low, low relative to what you would expect to have a winning term. You know, I mean, we could see -6 winning here if it's rather windy. And, you know, Jon Rahm just gains strokes in all the best places. He's number one on the PGA Tour, gaining strokes off the tee. He is the best golfer in the world. And in these tough field events, I actually think because the ownership is not going to condense as much in the middle range. So I think you can actually get away with just playing a bunch of Jon Rahm, and I don't think he will be out of control in terms of the ownership at all.
All right, so we took a quick look at it. Let's hit it one more time, guys. We got Jon Rahm in Davis's lineup at 11,400, Sergio Garcia at 8,100, Maverick McNealy at 7,800, Corey Connors 7,600, Seamus Power at 76, and then Luke List at 7,500. So no doubt you are the expert in this field. So let's break down how people would set a lineup this weekend over on DraftKings.
So mostly what I am looking for this week is guys who are going to be gaining strokes off the tee. So events where you expect the winning score to be -8, -9, -10, those events are actually going to be driven a little bit less by putting. You know, an event, you know, they play the Rocket Mortgage Classic at the Detroit Golf Club. The winning score is going to be, you know, -22. You better believe you're going to have to make a bunch of 8-foot putts to win that event, right? You're just going to have to be making loads of birdies. And birdies and eagles are obviously going to be important at this event, but there just are not going to be that many opportunities. You know, a lot of time you're going to be, par is good on a lot of these holes, which is sort of unique on the PGA Tour now, where scoring has gotten so ridiculous and these guys are so strong, their equipment is so good. And all six of these guys gain strokes off the tee. Rahm, Garcia, McNealy, Connors, and I would definitely put McNealy, Connors, and List all in a bucket, and that bucket would be incredibly good off the tee, incredibly good on approach, but pretty poor putters. But those are actually, I mean, those are guys I love to use in DFS, because if Luke List runs decent on putting for 4 days at this event, I mean, he's going to T10 because he's going to have so many opportunities. Like, you know, he's going to have over the course of the weekend, like 20 birdie putts probably over the 4 days or whatever, you know, assuming that he makes the cut. And if he makes six of those, that's probably good enough to get him inside the top five. It's just a matter of, is he going to make those? I've bet on Luke List in a lot of these events and seen him go through and make zero of those birdie putts, which is, not that fun.
All right. So Rahm not on your betting card. So, maybe some other options, I guess, just no value. So let's take a look at the possibilities for this weekend. If you're going to play on the betting side of it, Sung J.M. is about 3-1 here, or is it 28 to 1. I'm sorry. Okay. Sergio Garcia is 50-1. We've got McNealy, who we just talked about, at 66-1. Corey Connors is 66-1. Siwoo Kim is 80-1. And Tom Hodge a little bit higher than that. So you mean to tell me that we got a shot at hitting one of these at a 28-1, 50-1, 66-1? Boy, that feels like a decent dart throw this weekend.
I mean, if you do, so it's kind of hard to evaluate this golf course because of what you just said, right? Tiger Woods was so dominant here. I mean, Tiger won here four times in 6 years. But if you go back and look at the last decade, Hatton has won here. We've had, Mark Leishman has won here. Jason Day has won here. And then some of these runner-up names, Kevin Chappell, Charlie Hoffman, Matt Fitzpatrick, Leishman again. These are guys who would have went off at, a little bit closer to 60-1, 80-1. And you are right that John Rahm did not make the betting card here because kind of the way that Rahm is functioning in these events is I don't think the books are getting a ton of action on him, but if they ever did hang out, an 18-1 on Rahm or whatever, that number would just get absolutely pounded. So anytime Rahm, it's kind of the same way it was with when Dustin was the world number one and just felt like he could win any event. I mean, those guys just suck so much of the win equity out of the pool that you're getting rather large numbers on guys who could win. And just my general golf betting strategy is I just hit lots of guys in that 50-1 to 100-1 range. And honestly, mostly I tend to kind of just bet the same types of guys who I think the numbers are a little wrong on, or, in the Corey Connors type bucket of just guys where like the course doesn't even matter for him, like, because he's going to have so many chances to make birdies. It's just a matter of, can I find 4 days where Corey Connors putts well, who has, Corey Connors won on the PGA Tour, basically doing exactly that.
All right, so there you go. There's our DFS lineup and betting lineup for the weekend. And by the way, all of this information is available over at dailyroto.com. Also including, we didn't touch on it today, but you can get all of your NBA DFS also for free over at dailyroto.com, all of Davis's information and projections. So make sure you head on over there. That is the place to be. Okay, so with baseball deciding to hit the pause button on us for the time being, we're going to dive back into a little combine football and definitely some news being made in Indianapolis this week. So coming up next, we're going to hear from Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as to whether or not Tom Brady could come back and also an extension for another coach. Go ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL Combine underway in Indianapolis. We'll learn a lot more about the draft picks this week and next week. Davis, of course, and I will cover it for you before we hit the NCAA tournament. But Davis, before we get into some of that, an announcement this morning from the Arizona Cardinals, their general manager and head coach have been extended through, I believe it is 2026 or 2027. How do you feel about that? I was surprised to see that, especially with, I thought that the owner was upset and all this Kyler Murray stuff going on, but my gosh, like that's a pretty strong endorsement for those two.
It's weird timing, right? I mean, maybe this has been in the works for 6 months or whatever, and they finally, sat down and hammered it all out, but it's at best, it's very odd timing. And I guess maybe it's a signal that, Kyler, we're not trading you. This is your coach. This is your GM. You guys got to figure it out. Or maybe it's them saying, Kyler, we'll flip you. If someone gives us a first, we're going to flip. I don't know. I would certainly side with Kyler over Cliff Kingsbury. I like the Cliff Kingsbury hire, and I like some of the things that he did the first year he was a coach, but I have not seen a ton of improvement from him, especially like with kicking and fourth down decisions and things. So it was very weird to me, I thought.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The last 2 years falling apart, I just don't really know how you fix that, because like something that probably just shouldn't have happened at all. All right, well, a little bit later in the show, we're going to do a fantasy or reality with Tom Brady. But for now, it looks like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are headed at the very least to a training camp with a quarterback on their roster in Kyle Trask, and potentially maybe even a quarterback via trade. But Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers, talking to the media, seemingly thinks it's been pretty difficult to acquire a player via trade this offseason.
Well, we addressed it last year. You know, we drafted Kyle Trask number two for a reason. Fits everything that we want to do as a quarterback, and really, really like what I saw for a year. So I doubt drafting is an option. For all the other guys, it's going to be a trade. Well, you don't trade by yourself. You got to have a partner. So that could be out of the question.
Have you guys closed the door on Tom coming back? Is that
Oh, that door's never closed. Whenever Tom wants it back, he's back.
But so how do you plan for the offseason, though? You know, like, do you...
Yeah, you just go on, because I think if Tom comes back, we'll have plenty of money for him.
All right, so we'll save the Tom Brady discussion for a little bit
that
later.
That was funny.
Yeah, we absolutely have no idea if he's coming back or not, but we will tackle that in fantasy or reality. Assuming that is not the case, we'll play that card later. Buccaneers, Davis. Kyle Trask is on the roster. Arians is saying there's no draft. I'm biased with Trask because he played for the Gators, so naturally I'm always going to give my best opinion on a player that played at Florida. But he got no opportunity whatsoever last year. Trask the starter? Someone else the starter? I mean, Bucks holding out hope here? Like, what are they doing?
I would make Trask a pretty big dog to be the week one starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And maybe Bruce Arians is telling the truth about, you know, not being able to find a trading partner. But all it's going to take is one. When one domino falls at the quarterback position this offseason, whether it's Aaron Rodgers gets traded, whether it's Derek Carr getting traded, whether it's Russell Wilson formally saying, I want to be traded, you know, just any of the Kirk Cousins being traded from the Vikings, though that seems less likely now since they hired the guy who is his quarterback's coach in Washington. But if I would also set the odds, quarterback, age of starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers week one of 2022 over the age of 30, I'd make that like minus 200. Like they're trading for a veteran. The roster is too good. Super Bowl champions 2 years ago, made the playoffs this last year. Arguably could have even, beaten the Rams in that game had things gone their way in the second half. Probably would have beat the 49ers. I mean, the Buccaneers could have went back to back if the ball had just, you know, kind of gone the different way a few times. So I'm gonna call fantasy on Kyle Trask.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm hoping he gets a chance, but I would guess you're probably right. Somebody else, along with Trask, at the very least, competing for a job. Well, could that player be Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons? Sort of out of nowhere yesterday, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons was very extensive in discussing the cap situation with the Falcons, saying that they're going to have to make moves and players are going to be cut, and was non-committal essentially on Matt Ryan being back as quarterback.
There are going to be cuts. There are going to be trades. There are going to be contracts that we do convert. And we don't, I think another elephant in the room is, are we rebuilding? Are we trying to win now? And I would say we're trying to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be smart. And we don't want to make decisions that are going to hurt us in future years, but we also want to build the best team that we can. So we're going to work hard to be smart and calculate in our decision making, but we also have to improve this roster this offseason and add competition.
Boy, this is a tough one to call, Davis, because it's not like Atlanta has anybody waiting in the wings. Maybe it is a quarterback that they would draft. And we also have to be real with Matt Ryan, who's had a wonderful career, but I mean, I don't know. How much longer can this go? His numbers finally ticked down last year. I know he threw for almost 4,000 yards, but again, 17 games, and the touchdown to interception ratio wasn't there. In Ryan's defense, who the bleep was he throwing to, Davis? Last year, he had nobody at wide receiver. He had Gage and Zacchaeus, and it took him a while to get Pitts going there. But boy, from Fontenot, who was pretty candid yesterday, it sure seems like the Falcons sort of kind of feel like they're still in this rebuild mode.
Well, I mean, they are, right? The Atlanta Falcons, and I know that they like they were kind of like one of the zombie teams last year. Like it felt like they were still in the playoff race in like week 14, despite getting blown out against every good team. Unfortunately, they missed their opportunity to get out of his contract. If they were to cut him, or I think the way NFL contracts work with these massive contracts is you still owe a good chunk of the money, even if the guys get traded. They owe him a bunch of money. His cap hit this upcoming year is $48 million. His cap hit next year is $43 million. They do pick eighth overall. I would assume all of the quarterbacks are going to be available. At eight, I would assume Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Kenny Pick, you know, whoever your guy is, I would assume all of them should be there at eight. And maybe that'll change as we get a little bit closer to the draft. You know, maybe the Panthers will you know, say we're taking one of these quarterbacks or whatever. But their roster is not any good. So I talk Tampa Bay. Why Tampa Bay ship a first round pick for Matt Ryan? I mean, you know, I guess you never see stuff like that happen with divisional rivals, but right. I would not at all be surprised to see Matt Ryan on a different team this upcoming year.
Yeah, it could very well be. Another GM who was making news yesterday was the New York Giants general manager, Joe Shane. He was asked essentially yesterday about players being traded, was asked directly about his running back Saquon Barkley potentially being on the block. And while he did not directly allude to any of his players, clearly knowing the situation he and Brian Daboll are in, said that no trade is off the table.
I mean, I'm open to everything. Like, whether it's, you know, again, trading player for player, you know, I'll listen to anybody. If it's trading, you know, a couple players, you know, I'm not going to say the entire roster, you know, we're open for business on the entire roster, but if anybody's going to call and they're interested in any of our players, I'll certainly listen. And again, we're in a situation where unfortunately we have to get under the salary cap, and we're not in very good salary cap health. And you know, again, I'm not going to say yes to every deal, but I'm definitely going to listen, and I'll be open to the situations that are best for the New York Giants.
Yeah, Davis Gettleman really left these guys in rough shape, to say the least, especially with signing Galladay and really having no quarterback and drafting Barkley, and we've gone over this and talked about this extensively, but I guess we could just start with Barkley here. Like, I don't know, like at this point, based on what you've seen, can they get a third round pick for Saquon Barkley in the NFL draft? I don't think so.
No way, because what you forget is even though Barkley has not signed an extension yet, he is paid, I believe off the top of my head, I believe he's paid the fifth most money per year of any running back, because running backs don't get that big of a deal. And the slots are done by where you're drafted. Barkley was the number two overall pick. That means he gets number two overall pick money. It's a lot of money. So Adam Schefter and Jordan Renan had a report yesterday that the Giants are entertaining calls on Saquon Barkley. I would guess the calls go something like this. You pay half his money, we'll give you a fifth round pick. And the Giants are like, that is a terrible deal for us. Why do we want to do that? Because, you know, one thing is there's kind of like this Stockholm syndrome with Giants fans, where like their whole identity was wrapped up in that pick being successful, because everyone who wasn't a Giants fan was laughing at them for the Barkley pick the entire time, right? Because that was like, that was the big signifier of how bad Gettleman was at his job, basically. And so I feel like that's a hard move to sell to the fans. Like, I feel like trading Barkley for a fourth round pick, it would be a good trade if they got nothing back and someone else just agreed to pay his money. The Giants had to cut Kyle Rudolph today, and they owe him $5.2 million that counts against the cap as well. Like, I mean, Gettleman, it's just so bad. It's so bad. But Barkley is going to be on the Giants roster because no one else is going to be willing to pay him that money.
What's really fascinating is that you're right. There were a lot of people who thought it was a bad pick at the time. And then it looked justified after the first year. Barkley was a monster. He was unbelievable. And then, boy,
did they win like four games, though?
But he was amazing. I mean,
he was very good.
He was an amazing player. He looked exactly like he did in college, and it looked great. It just looked like they needed to build around him. And then it just completely went the other way. unfortunately. But yeah, I agree. I don't know. Cuttable seems to, I mean, can't cut the guy, but I don't know what they could get for him at this point, unfortunately. Great college player, by the way, Saquon Barkley. All right, fantasy or reality is coming up next. We'll go back to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also touch on some pop music as well. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we get back to fantasy reality, David, it's a rare Tiger Woods tweet happening about 30 minutes ago where he sort of goes in on his old buddy Phil Mickelson for being named the most popular golfer and capturing $8 million based on that. And then the tweet was quickly deleted, but obviously this is all based on fun. At the same time, not so fun for Phil Mickelson right now, is it?
No. Phil is, you know, he lost a little bit of his luster, right? Phil is kind of like your fun uncle in golf. And it's sort of funny because Phil has not really been a good golfer for like 4 or 5 years. You know, I know he won the major championship, right? Spurs in there, which is hilarious. He went off at like 400-1 to win that event. Mm-hmm. But very rarely in Phil's career has he taken a beating in the public eye. But due to his dalliance with the Saudi Arabian Golf League, he's getting beat up right now.
Yeah, no, he did. And Tiger Woods deleted that tweet, by the way, before it was gone. All right, time to turn it over to Brett Levy. He's got some burning questions for us in today's fantasy or reality.
All right, guys. Well, yesterday, a lot of people were talking about Mitch Trubisky because the Buffalo Bills announced they don't think he's coming back to Buffalo to be a QB2. Dan Orlovsky then tweeted out that he thinks Mitch Trubisky could be a starting quarterback in the league, and everyone wanted to give their opinion on the subject, so I thought I'd let you guys give your opinion on the subject as well. And Davis, we'll start with you. Mitchell Trubisky will be a starting QB week 1. We don't know for who, but is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I'm gonna take the stance. I'm gonna say it is a reality. So, and I think it's a reality for two reasons. One is this was exactly what the Bills sold Trubisky on when they signed him to the deal. They said, look, you come with us. We're going to teach you, you know, you're going to be behind Josh Allen. You're going to learn some of the things he does. I mean, is there really a difference between Mitch Trubisky and Daniel Jones? Not really. And, you know, it's absence makes the heart grow fonder. We haven't seen Trubisky do anything stupid in the pocket in about 2 years now. So we've kind of forgotten how frustrating the experience of watching Trubisky is. And also, his skill set is so much more in vogue than it was even 24 months ago, right? Mobile quarterbacks, you know, you can move a little bit, you can throw on the run. That's like all the rage right now. And I think we did this maybe on Marcus Mariota, and I said the same thing. These younger mobile quarterbacks who can move and have the really strong arms, and Trubisky's not that accurate, but he does have a very strong arm. That's a desirable skill set. And as I've stated on the show a bunch, I think it's going to be a crazy offseason with quarterback moves. And once the one domino falls, then it's going to start moving. And I do think Trubisky is going to, you know, roll up somewhere and end up being a starter.
Yeah, it's funny because he looked good, I thought, his first year. And you could see with Fields how he looked good a few games last year. It's just the coaching in Chicago, I think, was rough. I don't know that you could get a gauge on any of those quarterbacks in Chicago recently. I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say, if I had to guess here, that he ends up with the Giants. I think, Davis, you were on the money with that. I think that is true. I think they bring Daniel Jones back, and I think that they call this a competition, of which I believe they will want to see if the competition makes Daniel Jones better during the regular season. I know he's been hurt too, and that's a fair assessment, but I think that Trubisky goes to New York and says, okay, now not only am I a backup, but I have a real chance very quickly to be a starter. I think it's probably established. Again, by default, they got to at least see if Daniel Jones can win the job. And sometimes coaches do this. They bring in a guy just to see if they still have, if this is the thing that pushes them to be a better player. So I'm going to say fantasy, but I do think if you gave me like an over-under of starting games next season of like 4.5, 5.5, I'd probably say over. But yeah. But I don't think going into any season, Trubisky is the starter. Much better, he's like a Fitzpatrick man. Wherever he goes, you're going to assume eventually he's going to get a chance to start. So I'll say fantasy to start the season.
All right. Well, our next question revolves around Tom Brady, because we've seen a lot of rumors over the last week, Craig. Starting off with Jason Licht yesterday saying we'll leave the light on for him. And then Bruce Arians added his comments, also mentioned he wouldn't just give him away because that's bad business. We saw Mike Florio speculating that maybe the 49ers would be a good fit for him. So with all this information and disinformation out there, Craig, Tom Brady will stay retired. Is this a fantasy or reality?
One of the other things that Bruce Arians, in case you missed it on our show, one of the things he did mention yesterday is that the Buccaneers would not let Tom Brady play anywhere else. So, I mean, whether or not that's true or not, again, it's Bruce Arians. Who really knows? Is there compensation? I don't even know how that would work if he came out of retirement. I believe he's under contract for this year. The other thing that I don't know, and I think it's of massive importance here, and it's being talked about because I know that when I go to the grocery store, I see pictures of Giselle and Tom Brady, and they're not, you know, this the tabloid nonsense that they're not getting along. Is that true? Like, is there a degree of that to his relationship with his wife that Brady has already said was strained at one point and they had to go get counseling or something? I'm going to say this is a reality. Now, if the question said 2024, 25, 26, I do think this is the kind of guy that may come back eventually, but I have to live in the moment of the question right now. I don't think he's going to play this season. I do believe, and it's a guess, that it is family related. It is time for him to be a dad and a husband, and I'm going to say he will stay retired, but it would not shock me a few years from now, 2 years, 3 years, to see him get the itch and come back and play again. I'm throwing the family card in here, Davis, so I'm going to say reality.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. Brady was one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL last season, probably. You know, I think rightfully probably should have won the MVP, didn't end up winning the MVP. The voters gave it to Rodgers, but Brady had a better statistical season at however, you know, 44, 45, however old he is. And it does not make very much sense to me that someone who is obviously as like insanely competitive and sociopathic about, you know, keeping their body in perfect shape and you know, I can't eat strawberries because I can't have any inflammation in my body. Like, it just makes no sense that if his body is still able to play, that he would walk away from the game. So I think you're probably right. I think he probably will stay retired for, you know, this upcoming season for the time being because of family stuff. Because it never made any sense for me for him to walk away at this point. So it's got the explanatory variable does have to be, you know, family stuff basically. Because who is Tom Brady without football? Like, I doubt he even knows. So I think probably reality, Brett.
All right. Well, our last question of the day, we're going over to music because Neil Diamond decided to sell his entire music catalog to Universal Music Group. Now, he didn't share how much he got or what the deal was or any of the information, but based on recent deals, we can see that it's been going for quite a few millions of dollars. The article that we are getting this sourced from says hundreds of million dollars in recent months. So, Davis, we'll start with you. Neil Diamond made a good decision to sell his music catalog. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I mean, I would guess that this is probably a big deal. Now, you'd have to know the specifics of the deal to give a really firm opinion, but I don't know. It's like he probably gets a huge royalty off of Sweet Caroline. That's his song, right, Craig? Sweet yes. Caroline?
Yeah.
So that song gets used in movies all the time. You know, the Red Sox probably have to pay him some money when they use it in like promotional materials or whatever. I mean, he probably has residuals upon residuals upon residuals coming in. So I would wonder, do they acquire that as well? So when you acquire that part of the catalog, does Universal Music Group get all of that in perpetuity forever? And I mean, I would guess that Neil Diamond is like, I'm already rich. I'm stupid rich. I don't really, I assume he's not making music anymore. I can't say I'm all the way up on, you know, if Neil Diamond has released an album in the last 5 years or whatever. Now, in general, though, this is a bad idea for young artists. We've seen this where they sell the rights to their stuff in perpetuity and it ends up being a bad deal for them, specifically when they sell the master recordings. But I think when you are no longer producing music and just living off of what it provides you, I think probably it is a good idea.
You know, I'm going to say fantasy. I don't think it's a good idea because I really was not very clear on the ramifications that could come from this. But apparently, anytime you sell your catalog, you're selling yourself short. Apparently, that's the deal. So what you said was an interesting narrative, but I'm not sure that it's true. I'm not sure that Neil Diamond is in the financial position that he wanted to be at this point. I don't know that that's the case because I remember this happening with the rapper, you'll remember Coolio. And I remember at the time that he sold, it was basically a couple different things. He needed the money, wanted the money, and hearing that, my gosh, you know, they're going to still be using his songs 20, 30, 50 years from now. If this dude would have passed it down to somebody else, whoever he passed it to was going to end up making a lot more money in the long run because he had some iconic hits, big hits, as you mentioned. Sweet Caroline, also Coming to America from The Jazz Singer, was another song by Neil Diamond. So I'm going to guess that he wanted the money to pass to somebody or something to do this. Because if Neil Diamond is doing this, why isn't everybody doing it if it's such a good deal? So I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say probably good because he wanted to do it for somebody in his family, leave something. I'm not entirely sure the dynamic. But overall, from what I understand, you stand to make more money by not selling your catalog and, you know, inevitably never selling the catalog and just keep passing it down to family members. So my understanding there. All right, that's our fantasy or reality for today. Just as a reminder, Davis and I will be right back here on the show tomorrow at noon Eastern. We'll take even a deeper look at the NFL scouting combine. We'll start talking about some of the players that are potentially in the draft. And I know that a lot of the coaches are discussing them. So players moving up and down, we'll get Davis's opinion on that. No doubt we'll jump back into the NBA as well. And then on Friday's show, we'll have a preview of the upcoming NASCAR tournament. What other sport did I miss, Davis, that we have not covered here on the show? We got golf, we got NASCAR. What did I miss? Am I missing something that you're in on that we need to be doing?
Well, I mean, you know, it's soccer is in full swing soccer, right now. The MLS just came back this last weekend. Sporting Kansas City did lose their first game. They did lose 3-1 to Atlanta United. So that is a little bit of a bummer, but we have MLS going. It's going on over in Europe, last 16 of the Champions League. So I don't know. Times get desperate. You never know. You never know, Craig.
Yeah, listen, no baseball at all. I'm USFL, soccer, I got it all on the table for this summer, if that's the way this is going to go. Okay, so let's take our final time out of the show. Coming up next, Sports Grid 60 times, 60 seconds of commentary from myself and Davis here on this Wednesday. So stay on the grid. Right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Sports. Today, before you set your basketball lineups tonight in DFS, make sure you go to Daily Roto because Devin Booker has been placed in health and safety protocols of the Phoenix Suns. They play Portland tonight. Make sure you get him out of your DFS lineups. Let's turn it over to Davis Maddock. He's got today's Sports Grid 60.
Well, I won't belabor the point, and this will be the last we speak of it. We're moving on to golf. We're going to be hard in the NBA, the scouting combine, which I'm very excited about. I love the combine. I'm a nerd. I want to know how fast George Pickens runs in his underwear. That's huge for me. I love that stuff. But I really just want to say that I'm disappointed in baseball. There really is nothing better than the excitement of opening day games in June and July. Like it's awesome, right? It's summer vacation away from football. And I love football, right? Football 24/7, 365. But it is nice to have a couple months that is not dominated by, you know, tracking Aaron Rodgers' whereabouts. So I just, Craig, I'm just disappointed.
Yes, and I would echo that in my 60 seconds too. Like, you know, look, I get a paycheck from doing a podcast. I get a paycheck from the Miami Herald for covering the game too. It hurts me in my wallet. It hurts doing this show not to have baseball as well. But as I've gotten older, I got a chance to be more realistic, and I'm just not going to, as they say, beat a dead horse and kill you with content that doesn't matter here on this show. There is absolutely nothing actionable about Major League Baseball at the moment. So what do? We play GM Joe Shane for you on Saquon Barkley. Why? Because that's closer to reality than any Major League Baseball game right now. It is frustrating. It stinks. But I think we all have to just get a grip and understand life goes on. We move on. And when baseball decides that they're ready to come back, then we will too. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks to LTN. Thanks, of course, to Danny and Ryan on the graphics. And for Brett Levy, our producer, my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. We'll be right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. More NFL Combine talk and NBA DFS preview. Don't go away.